Podcasting 2.0 for September 5th, 2025, episode 233, Daniel J. Lewis in a can. Happy Friday, everybody. It is time once again for Podcasting 2.0. This is the place where we let you know what's really going on in podcasting. Why? Because we're all creating it. That's why. It's real simple. This is the board meeting, and we are the only boardroom that hasn't had a meeting on Epstein Island. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who can debug a gap in party time performance in his sleep. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
The levels are weird.
They're weird?
Yeah, I'm really low. I'm really loud, and you're really low.
Well,
gotta figure out what I'm
maybe
done wrong
maybe here. I have low T.
There's shots. You can do shots for that, like once a week.
I mentioned that on No Agenda. I got a lot of people like, no, don't ever do that. Don't ever do TRT replacement. Okay,
why?
I don't know. Not? I don't know. Apparently, it'll kill you. I don't know. Everything will kill you eventually.
Eventually. I mean, if you have a doctor that knows what you're doing, what they're doing, it's not a big deal.
I don't know. Do you get T shots?
No.
Would you like to get T shots?
I'm a young buck. I'm only 49. I don't need the T shots yet.
Yeah, rub it in. I turned 61 this week.
Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you. It feels odd. 60. Now, when you turn 60, like, oh, he's 60. Now I'm in my 60s.
Now
I'm in my 60s.
That's a good point. Yeah, now you're now in your 60th decade.
That's
a big deal.
Yeah, it's not
coming
good.
Up on 50, so it's psychological.
What are you going to do?
It's the psychological, mountain you have to cross each time.
When is your birthday, Dave? When is your birthday?
You don't know my birthday.
Not offhand.
July the 13th.
Did I miss it this week? This year?
Probably.
Did I congratulate you at all?
I don't think so.
I'm sorry.
I'm not a birthday guy.
Well, you are. You are now. Dave Jones. I'm putting it in the calendar. In the calendar.
I'm not really a I just never think about birthdays. They come and go. It's not on my radar screen. I like celebrating other people's birthdays, but
yeah,
I don't know. For me, it's just like a non-event. I'm like, eh.
Well, I forgot it was my birthday this year. I woke up, Yeah. I woke up and then like, why do I have 27 messages? What's going on? And all of Europe, of course, seven hours ahead. They're like, hey, and then you spend, and I love it, of course, but I had to spend about an hour and a half in aggregate just replying to everybody. Thanks, brother. Thanks, Jim Bob. Thanks, Sally.
Edom.
Happy birthday, Edom.
Edom.
Yeah. And then I didn't leave Graphene OS. I still have my Graphene OS Pixel 6, which is sitting here. It's on the charger. Well,
Graphene OS was ripped from your grasp by Google.
Pretty much. So did I tell you about this? That I got a Galaxy 7Z Flip.
Is this the fold thing?
Yeah, not fold. It's the flip. So the screen folds, but not like. In portrait, it becomes a really small square phone, basically.
I've got to get this level thing fixed. What is wrong with my level?
Are you listening? Do you have a pre-fader thing? You got a pre-listen selected or what? So what are you hearing? You're hearing I'm really loud and you're really low?
I am super loud in my own headphones and you're low. Lower than you normally are.
Let me see.
What is the deal?
Am I outputting the same?
The opposite. I like you to be jacked and me to be low.
I mean, I can give you a little more. 1-2, 1-2. How does that?
Oh, that's better.
I can give you more, brother.
So nice. No. You're getting too much.
Is that where you want me? You want me right
just
there?
The tip.
How's
just
that
the
feel?
Tip.
Does it feel good? Come on, tell me. Does it feel good?
Just the tip. No more.
No more. You sure? Come on. No one will know. It's just you and me.
No. I can't handle it.
No, it's not terrible to have to thank people, Cotton Gin, douche. And right away, people get a chat room and in the boardroom. You shall not speak unless the speaking stick has been given to you.
The fold. Okay, what is your verdict on a foldable phone? Because I'm on an iPhone 13 mini, and my deal is with, I cannot tolerate giant phones, and all phones are now giant size.
That's true. They are, and heavy. The new iPhones are heavy. So, if you don't mind when you're scrolling that you feel a little bump in the middle of your screen, which doesn't bother me. It's actually kind of therapeutic.
Oh, do you rub the bump? Do you find yourself fingering the bump?
I finger the bump all the time.
Okay.
How old are we? 49 or 61?
Yes.
I like that a lot. I like the fold. You can put it in your pocket. You don't feel like you're sitting on anything in your back pocket. So and I'm quite impressed with Gemini, although I didn't enable it and it just pops up everywhere. You know, this is the problem with a Google phone, because they sneak it in everywhere. And then all of a sudden it says, hey, just so you know, I've turned off all these apps because you hadn't used them. Well, yeah, just because I don't look at the Shark robot vacuum cleaner app every day doesn't mean that I don't want it alerting me if there's a problem. And then you can't just turn that function off. You have to go and turn it off for that app specifically. Okay. Then all of a sudden, it starts to give me a happy birthday compilage of my photos. Didn't ask it to do that. It's doing it on my phone. And then I was like, oh, look, I look at this dynamic duo. And it's all the pictures of me and Tina with a video with music. I didn't ask it to do that. I don't like that. I don't like that you identified me and scanned, because I'm not connected to any cloud service for my
coming
photos.
From Graphene OS, this is a shock.
It's a real and Samsung wallet. No, I don't know how to get rid of this thing. It's like there's a certain move you make. You swipe something. It's like, hey, you want to use a Samsung wallet? No, I don't. Go away.
It's like phone herpes.
It just spreads,
gets all up in there. It never goes away. It'll come back at horrible moments.
It does. Now there's a lot of good things about it, but it definitely wants to keep you occupied. So I'm turning off things that I find like, how did that get there? Turn that off. Okay, go away.
That and I needed an Android phone for testing, Godcaster stuff about a year ago, and I bought just like a cheap. I don't even know what this thing is. It's like a. Is it a Razor?
Motorola Razor.
It's like some kind of Motorola phone.
I did get, because I have Android Auto in my car, but not wireless. So I got this janky wire, and you're like, I had this janky wire running from the middle console. And so I got one of those wireless dongle adapters. That works pretty good. Yeah, it does. And so now you get into the car, and this is my favorite experience. Is, you start the car, you start driving out of the garage, and then it starts playing Hello Fred right from the Godcaster. Just knows for some reason, like, play this. And that's kind of a cool experience. Or whatever I was playing last on the Godcaster, I guess.
Well, the issue I have with it is, like, I resisted signing up and, like, signing into Google and all this stuff for, like, a couple of weeks. And then at some point, I had to send you or Gordon, like, a video screen grab of something that was happening or something.
You're toast. You're connected.
I mean, the whole thing is just, you get sucked into
you're connected.
The event horizon of Google and you'll never get out.
Yeah, exactly. You're toast. To me, it's better than the Apple thing though, because people who are on Apple, they look at my phone like, wow, I really want this. I'm like, you can't do it, can you? Like, no, I can't leave the Apple ecosystem.
No, you're baked in.
They're told you're baked in. And I think with Google, you can at least try to leave. I mean, I don't know. I hate it. I really hate it all.
iMessage is the thing that will just lock you in. You can't get out of it.
Well, the whole reason I got this phone is because RCS just doesn't work very well on Graphene OS.
And, really?
I mean, and for good reason, because there's all kinds of spying going on, and it's all kinds of stuff you don't really want. But as I was, I'm back in business mode. So, I'm texting pastors at 6 a.m., which, by the way, is the only time you can get an answer from a pastor.
is 6 a.m. You gotta hit them right during their prayer time. Like, hey, pastor, good morning to you, brother.
Because they're annoyed enough to respond to you. Yeah.
Something like that. And so, you know, my texts weren't arriving. They were going to spam. So I kind of like being the green bubble guy. I like that a lot. Okay. You know, because you know, you stand out like, oh, look at that guy. He's got a green bubble. Must be an Android user. But at least everything arrives. And the interoperability is pretty astounding. I mean, you can see people typing, spyware. You can see people typing. You can see, you know, you can heart a message. Instead of just sending a heart, you can tap on message and heart it. Yeah. You know, you can do all that groovy stuff. But I'm sad about it. To be honest, I'm pretty sad. Pretty sad.
Are we doing SEO right now? Podcast SEO, talking about phones. Like, isn't that the way you? It's like, do you remember back in the day with blogs? It was it Rule 4?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There was this dude. Man, what was that guy's name? There was this dude that was like a famous blogger. And he had these rules of blog SEO, and like rule number 4 became this thing. I think it was rule 4 or rule 5 across, like, everybody started using this, and it was like, hot chicks bring traffic. And so everybody would post like rule 4 Friday or something like that. And they would just post hot chicks on Friday. If you want more podcast SEO, you just have to talk about your cell phone.
That does it. Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, the red meat of podcast SEO. Just talk about your cell phone.
Anyway, impressive. I think I was reading that Samsung is starting to surpass Apple in sales. Even in the US, they're catching up because of the folding and flip phones and all that. People like that.
Is the fold thing, does that make it really thick?
No, the phone is very thin by itself. So, and I don't have a case on it because why bother? And so I'd say when it's folded, it's about as thick as an iPhone with a case.
No, it's not bad.
Yeah, but it's just a square. Yeah, I just cannot tolerate
these giant phones. Like just the standard iPhone, the normal one, not the Max or anything. It's just huge.
Yeah,
once you get used to like the smaller phone of like the Mini or something else, and like you had that cat thing.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't go to a big phone. It's huge.
No, yeah, exactly. But it's just, you know, anyway.
You wear shorts in the summer and you feel like it's pulling your shorts off because it's so heavy.
I don't wear shorts ever.
Yeah.
Well, blue jeans and boots, baby. 110 degrees. I'm good to go. I'm from Texas.
Sweat running down both legs.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just a couple of podcast related things. I don't know how, I haven't checked recently how many places the value tag is popping up, which is is now legal according to the law and the App Store rules and all the judge says it's legal. You can have a value tag now in your feed and apps can surface it. Did you see the proposed categories of vocations that will qualify for the $25,000 exemption of tax on tips?
No.
Well,
was podcasters one of them?
Well, let me read it for you. So here we have. So this is a proposal. So I'm not quite sure. I don't know if there's going to be some kind of.
Now, is this IRS proposed regulation?
I think so. Yes. Okay. This is from the Treasury Department. Occupations and customarily and regularly received tips on or before December 31st, 2024. So it lists all of these occupations.
Right.
Like bartenders, wait staff, food servers, makes all sense. Chefs and cooks, dishwashers. Have you tipped your dishwasher lately? Because you should.
Not regularly.
No. Bakers, gambling dealers. That's a big one. Dancers. Hey, baby. All of a sudden, strip club becomes affordable. Can you write me a receipt for that?
I need this to be deductible.
So disc jockeys, except for radio, if you're in radio, you're screwed. So if you play pre-recorded music for live audiences at venues or events such as clubs, parties, or wedding receptions, and you can even use techniques such as mixing, cutting, or sampling to manipulate recordings, you qualify.
Okay.
And here it is, number 209.
Creators.
Digital content creators. And, you know, I despise the word, so let's look at the definition. People who produce and publish on digital platforms, original entertainment or personality-driven content, such as live streams, short-form videos, or podcasts.
Hey, if we actually made any money from this show, we'd be in good shape, but we don't, so it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter to us, but I think it could really move the value for value proposition forward. So up to $25,000, you do not pay any taxes. Now, here's the conundrum. I despise calling value for value tips.
This is your worst nightmare.
So I have a real issue with this. What am I going to do now? It's like, I'm happy about it, but also I'm really not happy about it.
It should be called no tax on value. Is what it should be called.
I'm going to write to the president a letter, see if he can change that to value for value podcasters.
This is really a big deal if that gets through to final regulation. I mean, that would be a big deal, because then, I mean, like, that would also apply to crypto conversion.
Sure.
Like crypto conversion, sure. That kind of thing. I mean, like... Yeah, that is a big deal.
Yeah, it should. I think it's very, very positive. I haven't heard anybody talk about it. So
I guess that would apply to all your Patreon people and all that stuff too. Yep. Yeah.
Let me see if it says anything specifically about how you receive them. But this goes back towards anything received on or before December 31st, 2024. So retroactively, you can do this if this comes into play. Which is beautiful. Man, there's all kinds of people in here. Ride share, travel guides, tour guides, and escorts. Hey, now. those who escort individuals or groups on sightseeing tours or through places of interest such as industrial establishments, public buildings, or art galleries. Hey, baby. Look at my art gallery.
Yeah. Everybody owns an art gallery.
Yeah, I guess so.
And of course, the reason they're doing this is because what you don't want is somebody to say, you know, everybody to who's in a traditional, like, this person's a middle manager at a law firm, and then suddenly their salary drops to $1 and everything else they get is tips.
Right. Exactly. Like,
you got to put some parameters around it, but that, I mean, yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, my kid, both my older two kids, they both are, while they're in school, they're working service in the industry. Restaurant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everything they do is tips.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big deal for them. 25 grand tax free.
I thought that was really quite cool.
Yeah.
It should. I got to figure out a way to get around the tips thing. Tips. But, you know, if you can make $25,000 in tips on your podcast, I'd call that valuable.
Oh, yeah. By the time you get to 25, I mean, that's 25 tax-free. That's a great start.
No kidding.
That's a great start. It's not going to pay a mortgage, but it's a great start.
It's better than a kick in the pants.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. So... tell me about this aggregator drop that we had. Because, you know, I had issues with the aggregator in August, and I wonder if that was part of it.
I think it was.
Remember, I alerted you to this. I said, "Hey, something's wrong. Something's wrong."
And you went, "Yeah." And you know what I said?
Yeah, you screwed it up. You made the mistake. You stupid vibe coder. You probably did it wrong. You're holding it wrong.
That the first response is always is your fault. Then, I mean, that's just it's the law.
And it's usually right. Typically, yeah, it's my fault. Yes,
yeah. Exactly. So the issue. I wonder if that podcast is still there and like this. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it. Because it was one podcast that broke aggregator one. So
yeah, it had like a really long person tag or something.
It's a really long iTunes author tag.
Oh, author tag. Interesting.
This iTunes author tag is off the chain. It's like, it was like 4,000 characters or something.
Why? What was in it? What was this author doing?
I mean, the guy's tax return was in it. Everything was in this thing.
That's great.
It just made me laugh. Like, I was upset, but then it made me laugh too when I saw it. Oh man, I got to find this thing. I think it was like a church guy. You'll see. Here it is. Oh yeah. Okay. Here it is. It is podcasting. It's called Rebuilding Faith. Yeah. It's still like this. Okay. It's Podcast Index. Here we go. I'll paste it in the boardroom.
Rebuilding
dude,
faith.
Dude, learn how RSS works, please.
Well, I don't know if you can expect too much from people these days, but yeah.
Yeah, just take a gander at that author tag. It says Rebuilding Faith by, and then it's just...
Oh, my goodness. He's a pastor. He's an author. He's a podcast host, passionate about helping people reconstruct faith after deconstruction.
You should not be asking questions in your author tag. This is not... You're already...
How do I raise my kids with faith when I'm not sure what I believe myself? Question mark. Can I follow Jesus without accepting harmful versions of... Oh, my goodness.
This is the thing that broke. That's crazy. So what you see there is not the whole thing. It was much, much, much longer.
Oh, that's funny.
So the reason that
I put that in the show notes, the reason it works now.
Yeah, the reason it works now is because I properly truncated the author tag to fit into the database column size limit, which it was not before.
Is there an actual size limit in the tag to this, or is it open?
I don't think Apple has any size limits on their iTunes tags. I think internally they do, but I don't know that any of the I'm side eyeing the boardroom because Daniel J. Lewis is about to tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think that they publish like restrictions on how long the tags can be. But I mean, the podcast index database, the column limit for the author tag was 2,048 characters. Now, proper handling of incoming data this is purely on me. For the second time in about 3 weeks, I've completely borked in my responsibilities as a diligent RSS aggregator developer, because you know, last time I'd somehow not properly indexed the soundbites table. This time I did not restrict the size limit of the iTunes author tag to be truncated to less than 2048 characters, if it happened to indeed be over 2048 characters. Now, this code that has been running for years, and this has never happened about it. This has never happened that...
Yeah, trust the Godcasters. Trust the Godcasters to break it.
Yeah, this guy SEO'd his author tag. This is just the nature of bugs. You know, you don't know that it's broken until it breaks.
Right.
And this code has probably been in production for 3 years, if not more. And it's no more than that. The iTunes author tag, that's one of the first ones.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably a 5-year-old code.
Amazing.
And it was one line of code. It's just one line.
And so it only borked one aggregator. Is that what happened?
Yeah. So we have 10 and it says 0 through 9. And, so the way, and then we had a discussion about this on podcast index.social about how to, what would you call that? Like smooth out the load across all the aggregators. So there was aggregator to the way that it ended up. And this is just sort of like an accident of the way the index came about is aggregator 0 and 1, those two aggregators, they bear a lot of the load. So, okay, so you have, whenever, let me try to, there's multiple things happening here. Let me try to explain. So the aggregators are responsible. Each one is responsible for multiple things. So aggregator 0 is responsible. I've made some changes, but at the time that this bug happened, the aggregator 0 was responsible for all the podcast index, for polling all the podcast index IDs 0 through 1 million.
Ah, I see.
And then aggregator 1 was responsible for 1 million through 2 million. Aggregator 2 and so forth. Mm-hmm. So each aggregator was responsible for polling a million feeds. Because we built the initial batch of feeds off of Apple's index, those lower IDs from 0 to 2 million, because there was roughly 2 million listed in Apple's index at that time, those just happened to be the most active podcasts.
Right. Oh, of course, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're the ones that that post new episode. They're just the ones that are the most consistent, and not all of them are, but most of the consistent podcasts. You know, if you look at the podcast index stats, 4.6 million shows, it's, you know, in 3 days, 1,569 shows have published an episode. Probably 70% of that came from that 1 to 2 million podcast index ID threshold, you know, range.
Sure.
It's just the way it is. So
is that actually good for load balancing over time?
Well, it's not for this because, you know, this one means the way I was doing it has had everything just loaded up on aggregators 0 and 1, and they're just doing way more work than the rest of them. And
Do they complain to you saying, you know, dude, like, could you offload this onto some of these other dudes? Because it's like, I'm getting tired over here.
Yeah, they're looking at the other ones. Man, you slackers. So, you know, it hasn't really been a problem. I mean, we got plenty of horsepower for plowing through these things. But here's the other thing that they do. So the other thing that the aggregators do is each one has a sort of a secondary responsibility. Aggregator 0 handles pod ping requests. So anything that requests an update through a pod ping, aggregator 0 also handles that. Aggregator 1 handles feeds with an update frequency of 1. Aggregator 2 handles feeds with an update frequency of 2, 3 and 3, 4, 4, all the way up through 9. So there's a possible, we use a field, there's a field in the database called update frequency. And so every time we look, parse a feed, we look at the episode list and say, okay, in over this many days, so like, let's say 3 days. So over like 3 days, how many episodes were published? Over 7 days, how many episodes were published? Over 10 days, how many episodes were published? There's this algorithm that I have that comes up with an estimate of how fast this show produces new episodes. And it assigns a score to that.
Cool. Cool. You're like a little AI machine.
It's a very non-AI rudimentary, you know, thing.
Yeah.
And so it just gives it a number 1 through 9. And so each aggregator has a separate responsibility to pull feeds that fall within its numbered update frequency. And that sort of load balances that aspect of things. And so, you know, unfortunately, that number is in reverse priority. So an update frequency of one means that this podcast updates more often than something with an update frequency of five.
Mm-hmm.
So that also skews the load balancing towards the lower number aggregators, you know, because the most frequently updated are also lower numbers. So just based on the way this was, you know, this all came about slowly over time, aggregator zero and one just ended up doing probably 10x the work of the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that if there's a problem with one of with aggregator zero or a one, it shows up fast. You see it immediately. And that's what Spurlock said. Hey, you know, the number of shows updating is dropping like a rock, you know, some this month. And I mean, just based on the chart he showed, I'm like, ooh, that's a, going off a cliff here.
Mm.
And I logged in. I mean, I don't look at the aggregators. I mean, I just don't. But I mean, you know, it's like watching the Matrix, the little green stuff flying down the screen. I mean, what could you glean from this? But they do log to the screen, to the console. And so I can just pop one up and look and watch what it's doing. And I popped up aggregator zero, everything's fine. Aggregator one, and immediately saw, the error.
Mm-hmm.
It's a SQL column overflow during an insert. I'm like, oh, okay, crap. What did I miss? And, you know, and it was on this one podcast. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Like a 5,000 character author tag. I'm like, why was I not? And I look at the code. Nope. Wasn't checking it. What did not do a safety check on the size of that field.
Mm.
So that was a quick, easy fix. Then the longer fix is, what was happening is it was trying to aggregate. The way the aggregators work is they pull the database for a batch of feeds. They're like, okay, what's next?
Right.
And they grab those feeds, about 1,000 at a time. They grab the feeds and stick them into a local SQLite database. Then they run the aggregator downloader. Polar, which is it's the sources openness on our podcast index.org GitHub. It pulls all those feeds down the RSS, and then it hands off to Party Time, which rolls through them all and parses them and sticks their parsed data back in the database. So that initial pull where it's saying, okay, then give me the next batch. It was pulled since that one needed to be pulled, and it was not being pulled successfully because the process was crashing. It just kept trying to pull it over and over and over. So it would crash every single time. So it's like you hit a wall. It was just stuck. So basically the net effect of that is no podcast index feed of 1 million ID, 1,000,001 through 1,999,999, where none of them were updated.
Got it. If I got to ask you again, if you just one day decide you're sick of it, I'm sick of it, I'm leaving, I'm rage quitting.
No, I'm sick of it right now. I'm rage quitting right now.
What happens? This whole thing falls down. You're like the cornerstone of all of this.
Well, I need to give somebody like a dead man switch.
Well, I've been asking for it.
Well, I tried to, and your email wouldn't work with Linode. We got to figure that out.
Yeah, but the dead man. I mean, you're going to give me. I mean, still doesn't mean anyone can understand what's going on.
But RM-RF/ Yeah,
that'll do it.
I'm out. The problem is if I walk away, you're walking away too because we're both going to Mexico. I mean, that's like.
with our $25,000 tax-free money, and we're cutting out, baby. We're leaving.
I mean, with the idea that I would leave and you would remain is not an accurate thing.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you. Yeah.
No, the new aggregator setup will be queued, Daniel. But no, I mean, like we got to get you in there, and then we really should be somebody else with keys to the.
You know what kingdom. I need? I need another picture of your monitor screens at home.
Oh, what does that mean?
Just to see all the different windows you have open with log tails and stuff. It's got to be enormous.
Right now on my screen upstairs, I have 9 SSH sessions monitoring the monitoring the logs to make sure that because I'm load balancing.
That's upstairs. That's in the living room.
No, that upstairs is where I office, where we do our Zoom calls and stuff.
Oh, okay, I see. You're in the basement for the podcast. I didn't realize that. I somehow thought it was the same place.
No, I'm on main floor. Mm. Yeah, but I'm load balancing right now and trying to just redistribute everything. Spurlock had a great idea with using a SHA-1 hash to evenly distribute the load across all the aggregators. And the idea there is pretty cool. So the idea of a hash, this is the whole point of a hash, is that when you take any value and you hash it, it produces a non-predictable number. And non-predictability, randomness, you know, entropy, is at its highest when it has the broadest distribution. So the output distribution of a hash, if you just change one bit value,
it becomes completely different.
It's a completely different output hash, and that output hash has a randomized distribution, an even distribution. So you can see this. There used to be a website. I'm not sure if it's still around, but there used to be this website that was really cool that would show you. You could take a cryptographic algorithm, and you could run it on some test data, and it would show you the distribution of the output. And you can see for poor hashing algorithms, you would see patterns developing. So it would be sort of like you're seeing like this grid, like this matrix, like on the screen, this big square with these tiny little dots in it. Each represent is a matrix from 1 to 20 billion or something. Mm-hmm. And you would see a heavy pattern develop towards one particular range of numbers and the output. That's a poor hash. If you take something like SHA-256 and run a bunch of tests on that with all kinds of different input values, you're just going to see a very even distribution of outputs. Your eye doesn't detect any patterns. And so what you can do is you could hash the podcast index ID with something like SHA-256, probably SHA-1 would be fine too. And then just chop off all the numbers and only keep the first digit and use that to determine which aggregator is going to aggregate that particular podcast index ID. Hmm. And what that will do is it will magically give you a even distribution across 0 through 9. So you naturally load balance all the aggregators. And so that's
nerdy.
It's very nerdy. It's very nerdy.
Super nerdy.
And it's also going to take a little bit of time, to sort of like re-engineer things to work that way. So, but I do think that's a great idea, and it really does I think it would solve this problem. But in the meantime, until I can get around to that phase of things, because I'm still trying to find time to build this new parser, and that'll be a whole new system. But the in the meantime, what I'm doing is I'm taking each aggregator and I'm just restricting them to different ranges. Still get full coverage, but just move the ranges around so that things are not just they're just not so heavily overloaded onto one or two boxes. And that, I mean, it's working. It's better already.
Can I talk to you as someone from the help desk?
Sure.
I'm sorry, the customer success management team?
Oh, yeah, the team, yeah.
So there's three things that are happening. Because, you know, I answer a lot of these requests. And I see other people doing it, too, and appreciate it. I know there's I see Spurlock. I think Eric PP has access. Who else has access to the admin?
Crater.
Crater. Yeah. Thank you. So one thing, well,
Alex, Alex, has
Alex. Yep. So the most, I get requests for different things, you know, and I'd say 90% is I changed something. I deleted an episode. Fountain sent me, you know, I changed the show notes. It didn't update. And that's, and so I, obviously a simple reset changes that for them. So my, I guess my question is A, I think I know the answer, but A, why do not, we do not detect those changes and make them? And there is no B. That's the, that's not A.
The question is A.
Yes.
Oh,
is that just actual machine resources and money? Is that what that comes down to?
Yeah. So there's, I try to detect, wait, hold on a sec.
What are you doing? Podcasts are down. Uh-oh. Hello?
Sorry. Sorry. I dropped something. I try to figure out what changes should trigger, an insert or an update.
Mm-hmm.
Because, writing to the database is expensive. Reading from it is not.
Mm-hmm.
Writing to the database locks tables. And so you want to do it as little as possible. The way that this is normally handled is you have two databases that are slave to each other. And then you have one that's the sort of you have a master slave relationship on your databases, and then one of them is a read only replica. So now all the reads are happening from this one database, and then all the writes are happening to this other database that does not handle the reads. That doesn't really help us because there are just simply so many reads, and I mean, excuse me, so many writes. The database is just being written to, you know, like crazy. I mean, there's 7 million podcast records in the podcast table.
Including dead ones, I presume.
Including dead ones, yeah. So the active ones, there's 4.6 million, and you got to roll through those all the time. And there's going to be... So there's feeds that update that don't actually, that are meaningless. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and what I mean by that is, what I mean is there are tons of updates that happen to feeds that do not actually show up as a meaningful change to the feed. So something like the last build date. Somebody changed the URL of an image. Okay, but the other image is still there. Or some there's
yeah, like, that's another big one. Yeah.
Somebody I'm trying to think of some examples. Somebody changed the show notes in the description field, but the change they made is their show notes are 6,000 characters long and we only pull in 4,000. Yeah. So if we write a whole new set of episodes and think based to the database based on that change, we wrote a whole bunch of data for nothing.
Right.
Because nothing actually changed that's meaningful anyway. So there's tons of things like this in a feed. And so you have to be very intelligent about deciding when is the writing to the database with all the locking that occurs, when is it actually worth it? And because if you had, let's just say you had 1,000 feeds or even 10,000 feeds, you would just take a whole different approach. What you would do is you would just read every feed, translate all those RSS tags into database fields, and just do an update and just update the records and everything every single time. And there's so few feeds that you're only doing that every few minutes and it's not a big deal. Once you get into the millions, you just don't have that luxury anymore. You have to be looking for meaningful deltas between what you have and what is new in the feed and try to make a decision. And so the decisions that I've made over the years are based on what effect I see it having on our load.
Mm.
So something you can do is you can say, you can watch Podping. This is a good way to do it. You can look at Podping.
I was just about to say, shouldn't this be a thing that we flow into Podping that says, okay, we need whatever this change is, it needs a reparsing of the entire feed or some parts of it?
So if you watch Podping, what you're going to see is you will often see the same podcast showing up in Podping 10, 15 times within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And what's happening is somebody's uploading an episode, going back and changing something in the show notes, then changing something again in the show notes, then fixing a typo in the show notes, then putting a link into the show notes. And every time they edit that description field, the show notes field, it triggers another Podping because the feed changed. If we updated that every single time.
Yeah, no, I understand. That would bring us to our knees.
Right. And so that's sort of the, if there is any disadvantage to Podping, it is that. It's that sometimes it's better not to know.
It's always better not to know.
Right. You know what I mean? Like you want to know, but sometimes what you would really want is to say, look, here's what you want to tell that person. Once you get your thing figured out and you're satisfied with what your feed's going to look like, then you let me know and I'll update everything.
Right.
But there's no, I mean, that's obviously not possible. So you try to work around this, and this is, we're using the example of one feed, but this is happening across thousands of feeds all the time.
Yeah.
And so you're just reparsing the same feed because somebody misspelled, the word the as T-E instead of T-H-E. And it's like,
yeah, a lot of overhead for that change. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. And so for that reason,
just be better, people. Be better.
For that reason, one of the things I exclude is is show notes and is the description field. That's from just regular updates. Now, that if the way it's excluded is important. So what I mean is, if all that changed was a word in the show notes, we're not going to reparse that. We're not going to do a, we're not going to re-update the database. If a new episode is added, we will rescan everything and update the database. So, and that's because each time we check for new episodes, I'm building a hash of frequently used fields in the feed. And only if a significant, what I call a significant field is updated. So that means like the album art changed or the enclosure changed, mm-hmm. or like a value for value tag changed or the funding tag changed. Something that would be critically important to the integrity of the feed or an episode. If something like that changed, and look, I understand that it's not ideal. I know that it's, if somebody makes a typo in their show notes and then that shows up in Podcast Index and there's no easy way to change it, I know that it sucks. I get it.
Yeah.
But it just, like, there's trade-offs with trying to keep our budget under control and trying to keep the load down and manageable. And so that was one of the changes. Now, you know, hopefully when the new system gets written, I'm hoping to be able to do more than this.
Okay.
And part of that will be, actually break, because right now what I'm doing is what's called batched inserts or batch updates in SQL. Instead of saying, you know, update this record with all these values, you can say update this table with all of these records. And so you can just sort of batch insert a whole bunch of stuff all at once. And so that also has sort of a drawback to it, which is you're more likely to lock in a situation like that when you're doing an insert of 15,000 items at once rather than just one. But it's faster. You know, it's faster because the database can use its internal optimizations to make that thing happen quicker. But it will be more likely to lock. So I don't know. There's just a lot of trade-offs with this.
Believe me, it's not an issue to go in and reset people's feeds until we figure this out.
I wish it wasn't. I wish we didn't have to feel so much of that. I mean, it's not a problem constantly doing it.
Yeah. It's not a problem. Now, the good news is it looks like Spotify, formerly known as, what were they used to be?
Anchor.
Anchor, yeah. So all the old Anchor feeds, or a significant portion, because some people still show up with an old Anchor feed.
Uh-huh.
Anchor was putting in iTunes block tags automatically. Those guys are real a-holes. And so someone will show up and say, hey, you know, it says I can't add this to the index. And I'll go in and look. And, oh, it's got a block tag. And they say, well, how'd that get in there? And there is no way to change it other than you have to actually call someone at Spotify.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. You have to get someone on the phone. And I've had probably three people in the past week or so who popped, and they were able to figure it out. They were able to get to some customer support person. But it's just amazing that they were doing that. Like, what a bunch of horrible people. It was by default. I mean, no one I haven't encountered anybody who said, hey, you know, I made a mistake. I put that in. So, and that's just a minor thing. The third thing, how dumb do you think these guys at telecast.ca think we really are?
They are blowing us up, man. And I'm like, I've already said no, and I'm done with that.
Here's here's an example of the latest. Hi, Dave. How are you? I am having difficulty reaching you. It's the same message every single time.
Every single time.
I know you have other million things on your mind, but I would like to ask you if you can please help uppercase. Our company, telecast.ca, a right API to give us the ability to add podcast feeds to the index. As it stands, we have a read search API key, but we would like to have the important write API key. Can you please help me out? You can check out our site at telecast.ca, and we're developing a site that can make and publish podcasts to the index. And this thing is just filled with spam.
Oh, it's nothing but it's Amazon affiliate spam everywhere.
Yeah.
And I told him, I'm like, there's Amazon affiliate spam. I'm not doing this. No. And they're like, oh, we found that one you mentioned and it's gone now. I'm like, no, you didn't.
This some of the podcasts they feature, no. But I'm going to go to the site. Trending podcasts. Trot Arrigo. Okay. Trot Arrigo. Episodes. Download PDF. M'lady Standard Cosmetology by M'lady on Mac full pages. Let's see if that plays. Yeah. Does not play. Download EPUB, the Moose Walk Cookbook. These are episodes.
Yeah.
This is what they have published as episodes. I mean, do they really think we're stupid?
Evidently, because we're getting like three of these a day.
Yeah.
You know,
it's unbelievable.
Hey, on a similar note to that. So I think I CC'd you on this. I'm pretty sure I did. I'm going to censor this on the fly. A well-known podcasting 2.0 app is getting harassed.
Yes.
By a specific content.
Yes.
You know, pod content creator, podcaster.
Yes. Yes.
Now tip free. Now tax free tips. And this podcaster is submitted a complaint to the App Store, to the Apple App Store, wanting to get this 2.0 podcast app removed for not. Let me see if I can pull up the email.
It's unbelievable.
I've not seen any. This is the first time I've seen. I mean,
I told Tina about this. Yeah, because what they say, I can remember. It's like this. This app is going against your guidelines and scraping and steal. I don't think they said stealing, but scraping our content and publishing it without our authorization.
Yeah. This is an update regarding this. This was written from the podcaster to Apple's App Store. Dear blah, 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 Apple. We are writing as the rights holders of the following podcast titles, blah, 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 blah. And they list out five different podcasts. This is an update regarding our prior complaint and formal DMCA takedown request related to fill in the blank app.
Oh, I didn't see it was a formal DMCA. That's a new one I must not have received. I was waiting for the DMCA.
Now this podcast app, this podcast app developer says that he never received a DMCA from these people.
Hmm.
So this is all, he's like, I never got anything from you. I don't know what you're talking about. Which continues to distribute and cache our shows without authorization. Despite ample notice, the app has failed to act on our removal demand. It was never granted permission to scrape, ingest, or display our RSS feeds or podcast content, and yet it continues to misrepresent our shows to the public. This ongoing behavior represents a violation of Apple's developer program license agreement, non-compliance with the DMCA, a potential violation of GDPR, and blah, 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 blah. And it says, we are formally requesting that Apple initiate removal of this app from the App Store until full compliance is confirmed in accordance with Apple's established content protection and enforcement procedures. And so Apple just forwards this, you know, thing over to the app developer and is like, you know, hey, what's going on? You know, it's your responsibility to, they said, it's your responsibility to resolve this issue directly with them. And further, that you are responsible for any liability to Apple in connection with this matter. We look forward to confirmation that this has been resolved. This is from Apple Legal.
Mm-hmm.
They sent this over to the app developer. And so, you know, this podcaster who did this recently sent us an email saying, hey, I noticed that our shows are not up to date on your platform. Can you please refresh them? And
that's the same person?
Yes. So they want to be listed on Podcast Index, but the app uses us to get their data. And so, or excuse me, uses us for a search engine. And, but they don't want to be in that app. These people are nuts. And so this got me thinking, this happens so often, that should there be some sort of like, Eric, you're right. I didn't realize that he had posted that publicly. It is Jason at Podcast Guru. Yes. Should there be some kind of website that we all as smart people, and I'm saying, the I'm talking about is us, you know, Cridlin, the hosting companies, Apple, please, Apple, Ted, throw us a bone. Can we all just come together and write a simple web page that explains in full legal terminology that you, as if you publish a podcast publicly on the internet, that it's just like a web page and there are no rights that are exchanged in this process. Can we please just write a page that explains this to other people and their lawyers so that when people do this crap and they send the emails to us saying, you have not signed an agreement with us to distribute our content, we can just point them back to this page that's signed by all, like everybody in podcasting, and just says, here's how this stuff works. If you don't want it listed, file it, you know, do this and this and this. Done. Because this is just a real, this James has to deal with this. We have to deal with it. The developers, the app developers have to deal with it. It's just so annoying.
Well, I think that's a good idea. And actually the person I can think to organize and do that is James. He's just good at that stuff. And,
right.
And that would be phenomenal if he did that. But I guarantee you, it will not stop people from doing this. There is, and I told Tina this story. She says, are these people nuts? Don't they want distribution? I said, yeah, that's exactly it. But there's a belief, you know, because the word platform always shows up in these requests. Remove this from your platform. Because they believe in their puny little minds that we're somehow making money off of them. I truly believe that's what they think. Like, oh, these guys are stealing my content, making money off of it. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, this app is like charging $2.99 a month for premium features. I should get a piece of that.
Yeah, and that was in this email. It said something about they continue to monetize our content.
Exactly. So it is my, because I thought about this, and I think most of the apps, I think certainly Podcast Guru will allow you to add an RSS feed. And when someone does something like that, to me, it's like, send me the URL and I'll mark it dead. Goodbye. You see, the problem is that the app, the customer for the apps is the listener. And then they get mad. Like, I can't get this fabulous podcast. Now, I don't know how often that happens when something's not available, and then, you know, I don't know. But then you should be able to add it manually, I guess. But people like that, they just block them. Just goodbye. I would say here's, because I do this all the time. I'll get, I was just looking at the email. So I get, let me see. I want to remove the podcast, blah, 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 from your feed. So all platforms you distribute to deletes the show. I'm the creator. Okay. we got another one here. where is it? kindly remove my show from your platform. And so I write back and I said, done. Please note that we are not a platform, but an index. Your podcast will no longer be accessible on these apps and services, with a link to podcastindex.org/apps. And they're like, thank you for your response. So I would like, what I'd like to do is send them a reply and say, this is the result of it being gone. And this is how we believe podcasting works. And a link to the page that I hope James will consider writing. And, you know, we'll certainly plead for people to jump on board and sign it.
Mm-hmm.
But then just delete them. Bye.
Yeah.
I don't see any other. Because, you know, the last thing we want is for Apple Legal, who are, you know, I'm sure they're annoyed by this, but they're just going to, at a certain point, they're just going to take a sledgehammer if they get enough of these. And we don't want that.
No, we don't want, this was, I've always just thought, you know, we've dealt with this with people trying to, you know, threaten us. With
I have a better idea. I just came up with a better idea. Would you like to hear my better idea?
I love your better ideas.
Okay. So when someone requests this of an app, we have a special button. You got to tap it 7 times. Special. There's a little pie sign. You got to tap that 5 times.
Then we love you. Love you, Paul.
And when you do that, then it will show up in the podcast app, but it'll say the creator has requested this be removed and you can contact them here and publish their email address.
No.
How about that?
Yeah, that's a good, yeah. That's,
and you know, it's it just shows up. It's like no episodes, just shows up. And this podcast has been requested to be removed from Podcast Index. If you have questions about this, contact the person who requested it to be removed.
Yeah, that would work. Sure. We could have a special email address that will receive these emails.
Yeah, and Daniel J. Lewis makes a very valid point, of course, is this is where the block tag should be used, but obviously that's...
that could be also on whatever this explainer page thing is. Welcome, lawyer that doesn't understand podcasting.
Hi, I'm the podfather. Let me scold you for a moment.
Let me tell you all the stuff you don't know.
With a picture of me pointing my finger. Wagging my finger at him. Yeah.
And just, you know, like, firstly, this is how podcasting works. Blah, 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 blah. If you want to block it, if you want somebody not to have your show, use the block tag, and this is what you do, blah, blah, blah. I know people aren't necessarily going to read this stuff, but at least it would take the burden off trying to do bespoke emails back and forth with all these people where you can just reply and say, if you want this removed, here's a link to the page explaining how podcasting works and how I'm not legally liable for your supposed slight.
Yeah.
And then also, here's a DMCA address. You must send me a DMCA and I will remove it or forward it to Podcast Index.
Right.
Like, I don't know. This one got me because they're wanting to take Podcast Guru off the App Store. And I'm like, what? You've gone too far. You've just gone too far. It's not okay to threaten somebody's livelihood because because you think you know something.
Yeah.
And it's not okay. That's not cool, man. So I don't know. Maybe James has some thoughts about this. He may have some pages. He's dealt with this so much. He may have some pages already
he might
bring together into something that could be like more broadly agreed to by everybody involved. Podcast Standards Project. This sounds like a great thing for them to endorse.
Yes, exactly. Hey, congratulations to Daniel J. Lewis on the release of his Pod Chapters, podchapters.com.
Yeah, we got to get him back on the...
Yeah, we got to get him on the show. This is pretty extensive. I haven't used it yet, but I saw a preview of it. I'm like, this is actually a pretty cool idea. The only thing is I've started using RSS.com for a couple of different projects. And I don't think you can add a separate link to a chapter file. But I don't think so. I could be wrong. I mean, you can do chapters that have a little chapter edit. Let me make sure I'm saying this right.
It's podchapters.com, by the way.
Did I not say that? Yes, podchapters.com.
Oh, look at Daniel. He has podchapter.com without the S as well. Ooh, you pro.
Ooh, wow. Man.
You pro.
Let me see. So click on chapters. Here we go. Chapters. And they have a chapter editor, but not a way to import a file, okay. which is too bad. Because I really love this product, and I'm going to get Dreb Scott a subscription. Because man, would this make his life easier? Well, actually, make everyone's life easier. I mean, it's smart chapter suggestions. It does transcription. Works with any MP3. No AI. Apps to install, and it will also update your ID3 tags in your file. Which I'm sure nobody at the hosting companies will be happy with.
This looks like it took a long time to build.
Yeah, it does.
This was not a chump.
Here, hold on a second. Let me go to
product here.
Let me go to ChatGPT. Okay, let me see.
Pricing. Join the wait list. Ooh, I'm going to join the wait list.
Please build this app for me. Let's see what it does. Thinking longer for a better answer. Yeah, you bet you are. I'm gonna vibe code it.
I just joined the waiting list.
Here Daniel, he says rss.com will read the chapters from the mp3's id3 tags. Oh, that's very cool. Okay, I'll do that. Excellent. Problem solved.
So he's saying that they'll read from the MP3 ID3 tags and then build a chapter file.
Yes.
From that?
Yes. Oh, that's excellent. Okay. Oh, that's interop right there, baby. Love that.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
I'll take it.
Chapters app. Custom chapters app. Yeah. Chapters app is what we built. Here we got some pricing. $5 a month. Okay.
Oh, man.
$5 a month for, forecast. It's $20.
What's $20? How do we go from $5 to $20?
Forecast. No, he's got this thing that says, he's like comparing.
Oh, price comparison chart?
Price comparison thing. Yeah, like all the different things. So I was looking at it. We'll get Daniel back on here and talk about it.
Yeah. So, by the way, ChatGPT is already planning out the MVP features.
What do you mean?
Well, I just gave it the podchapters.com URL and it said, okay, I'll build this for you.
did you say build me a clone app?
Build this for me.
Okay.
It's building an API. It's got JSON going. Oh, this is amazing.
No, Daniel, you're in trouble. You're gonna get Sherlocked by the end of this program.
I'm telling you, man, I'm dangerous with the vibe coding. That's funny. Rip it. No, it's great, Daniel. And thanks for that. I don't know if that's in your FAQs, but it should be. That's fantastic. Okay, I'll try it out. I'm looking forward to it. I was going to try it out anyway. But I can just hear Dreb Scott going, I'm not needed anymore.
Oh, Spurlock posted a chart that said the index has healed itself. Physician, heal thyself. Our numbers are coming back up. from the plunge in August is now reverted and is now back up to normal. Yay.
All right. What else did I have? Do you have anything else? Do you have anything else on your list for stuff that we haven't talked about? This was a nerdy episode. I like it. I like it. A lot of index database talk. It was kind of database story time in a way.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, it was a little bit of database story time. I heard James and Sam talking about the hosting company pricing because Blueberry raised their pricing.
Like $20 or something? What did they do?
Yeah, it's like 25%. Is that what it was?
25%
increase, yeah.
Have not no one has increased their prices in 20 years. Is that what I heard them say?
That's what Todd said.
That's amazing.
I believe it. I mean, I believe it. They don't ever change pricing. The podcast hosting business is a good business if you do it well, you do a good job. I mean, you can make money you can make some good money that way, but you really, it's a lot of competition.
No kidding.
There's a lot of competition in that world. And so you really are price locked. You know, you're going to have, it's a real, I have a lot of respect for Todd just sticking his neck out and saying, hey, we got to do this.
Absolutely. He's got a whole company to think of. I completely understand it completely.
And, the free hosting companies like Spotify for podcasters, like, you know, we see this a lot on the back end. People don't see it as much as we do. Like, Dovidas sent me an email that I'm going to have to fix a few feeds because they moved from Spotify for Podcasters over to a different host because Spotify for Podcasters kicked them off because they had music in their podcast. And so that is against their terms of service. And yep, they were just like, nope, goodbye, you're gone. And so they just shut them down.
So, yeah.
You know, if you're not paying for your podcast hosting.
Yeah. You get what you deserve. You get what you pay for. Nothing.
You're getting a free. Yeah. You get a free product.
And
you get it for free.
Did I hear from Chris at This Week in Bitcoin? I think he said that, that on Apple, people are listening to This Week in Bitcoin. Apple, he always does a value for value song at the end that was cut off. I don't know if that was an anomaly or.
On Apple's
on the Apple podcast app because it was music.
Huh?
Yeah.
Really? No, yeah. Surely not.
Yeah. That's what I thought he said. I have to go back and listen.
Man, I know. I can't imagine.
I know he didn't receive my boost though. Because I hooked up Strike to my podcast guru. And of course he has, Keysend receive only.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you have like an AlbiHub set up, you can just do can't you then do both?
I would think. Yeah. That would be weird that he would not be able to receive, cause you could receive that through Fountain too.
Well, he has his own his own node and everything all set up. So
he's self-hosting everything. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That would be really weird if. That would be a bit like a humongous development if Apple was editing the content of podcasts on the fly to pull music out. Surely not.
I don't know. Spotify does it all the time. They just remove the episode. Like, no, violation. You got music in there. And they do it for all kinds of stuff that is not actually a violation.
Yeah, but see, I always thought my understanding of that was that Spotify had to play by a different set of rules because they were so beholden to the music rights holders in a way that Apple was not. Like, that basically the Spotify, it's like you've said 100 times, Spotify is owned by the record companies. And so they have rules that a company like Apple just doesn't. And I can't imagine. Surely not.
That's just what I heard. I could be wrong.
On the most recent episode?
Yeah. Although the Podfather is rarely wrong, but it could be.
Don't double check me, bro. I don't know. Yeah, I'll have to go listen to the episode because I'm curious now what he said, because I know that. Like, there's value for value Wavelake shows on Apple's directory, right?
I really don't know. I really don't know.
Can you tell me this? does the split kit, you're using split kit, right?
I haven't used
to produce this feed.
No, no, I use Sovereign feeds.
Okay, Sovereign. You but only if I, use but split if, kit but if, for the yeah, live.
Yes, if I, okay. if I put in music, then I use split kit.
So Sovereign feeds, does it support alternate enclosure?
Let me double check. I believe so. Let me see. Episodes, enclosure. Yes, alternate enclosures right here. Boom.
Sweet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can we next week? Can I? I would like to spin up OBS.
You're going to do video.
Try to do video live with the alternate enclosure.
Yeah, of course.
And see what happens.
Of course. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. We'll do it. We'll do an live. We'll do an experiment live on the fly and see if see which apps can handle it. And we'll stick the. I'll figure out how to do the HOS.
It'll be known as the lost episode.
The lost. Yeah. Remember episode 230, whatever.
No one ever heard.
Yeah. No, no. What happened to it? I don't know.
I don't know. It's a mystery. It disappeared.
It went down the alternate enclosure rabbit hole.
Yeah. No, that should be cool. It's long, and does it save it to the cloud when you're using OBS, or do you have to save it and then send me a URL? Or,
well, I'm going to have to find a, I think what I'm going to need to do is find a PeerTube instance.
Mm.
Because so at NATube, rest in peace. NATube could do this where you could, you know, OBS up to NATube and then it would throw it out as an HLS stream. So I can, I'm going to find if anybody has any suggestions on which PeerTube instance I should use. I'm going to find a PeerTube instance and OBS it up to there. And then we'll see which apps can handle it. TrueFans. I'm thinking my gut tells me that TrueFans can handle it.
Yeah. TrueFans can handle everything.
Yes. You just, I mean, throw the sink at it and it'll handle it. Owncast. Okay. Captain Sweatpants says Owncast. Okay. I'll figure that out. Cool. If somebody else has, cool. I don't know if I can spin that up. I mean, like, I'm not sure if I have to, zap.stream. Okay. Yeah. Any suggestions are welcome for which service to use. And then, I'm thinking TrueFans will handle it. And Fountain, didn't they say they can?
Yeah, they do video. I think they do video now.
Okay. I bet.
And Podcast Guru for sure. Podcast Guru, I'm pretty sure.
Podcast Guru. Mm-hmm. If they still exist in the App Store next week, we'll see. If they,
hey, everybody, get your updates in quick for this this enormous test we're about to do.
Hurry up and download Podcast Guru.
Well, to make it complete, then let's also just do the Rodecaster to Rodecaster connection. Then, you know, we'll screw everything up.
Oh, yeah, we'll blow the whole thing up and just like, no, it will be no episode.
It'll be known as the kamikaze episode.
steer the plane directly into the ground.
Yes. Here we go, everybody. Yeah. By the way, I just pasted the zip file of my Pod Chapters clone into the boardroom.
Oh, I bet. How much Chinese
it'll be full with kanji. Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. But you've built a working MVP that mirrors the core flow of Pod Chapters.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
What's inside? Okay. A next.js app router plus TypeScript plus Tailwind. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's basically it's Daniel J. Lewis in a can.
That's it. Daniel J. Lewis in a can.
Yeah.
Everybody needs one of those.
Yeah. Let him out.
Hey, let's thank some people, Dave. We got some live boosts here. Eric PP sent us 3333 from CurioCaster. He says, enjoying the nerd talk today. Salty Crayon 254. Does the $25,000 in quote tips counter start over when we transfer that to cold storage, asking for a friend? Well, no, I can tell you right now. You should start counting it at the value. This is how we do it. The price of the average price of the day you received it, that would be your income. And you've got to record it then regardless of what you do with it afterwards. Not a tax lawyer, just telling you what we do.
Cost, that's how you build your cost basis.
Yes. Ping pong tests from Salty Crayon. Oh, that was before we started. Okay. And, I got a pre-show boost from Dreb Scott. He says, 12,345 sats coming, blasting in from Castomatic.
What's left of Dreb Scott? He's shrinking away to nothing.
Yeah, we need an update. Let me see. He says, pre-show boost. I'm testing animated PNG and GIF files for some of the chapters in episode 232 of Podcasting 2.0 for 233. I'm including info at the end of chapter titles to quickly show which image type I use. Thought this might be a good way for the boardroom to see which apps support each file type. This is a great idea, Dreb. Thank you. Yeah. 233 will be late. Replacing corporate firewalls tonight. Woo, pray it all goes well. Yeah, you need that. And go podcasting. Thank you very much. All right, that's it for our pre and live show boosts.
I had a firewall battle myself this week. No fun.
Yeah.
These are all the PayPals. All these are mixed up. I didn't have time to print them before I left. Jorge Hernandez, $5. Thank you, Jorge. Kevin Bay, $5. Thank you, Kevin. Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Podpage, that's Brendan. I think there's more than one person in Podpage, but maybe there's not. Maybe it's just Brendan.
Isn't Dave Jackson over there now too?
Dave Jackson, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave and Brendan at Podpage, $25. Thank you, guys.
We use them for this very show.
Top-notch product. Mark Graham, $1. Thank you, Mark. And New Media, that's Martin Lindescope, $1. Look at there. It's Oscar Mary at $200.
Whoa, thank you, Oscar. Baller,
shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
We should probably have Oscar on again soon, too. It's been a while. We haven't heard from him.
It's been a while.
He's been quiet. What's going on?
We got to have Barry from Podpage on here, too.
Yeah, got to have Barry on. We got to bring people on. We need guests. Start scheduling. Let's do it, man.
I know. Somebody call the booker.
Call Podmatch.
Podmatch.
Podmatch. Alex. Yeah. Podmatch. Yeah.
Get us some guests, Alex.
Yeah, please.
Joseph Maraca, $5. Thank you, Joseph. And now we got some boostergrams. Let's see, where's the boostergrams? Oh, it's at the bottom. Scrolling. There we go. Anonymous. True fans, 5,115 sats.
Thank you.
True fans support from episode 232, RF Bigot. Thank you.
Anonymous
true fans person. There was two of those. Thank you. Kyron from Mere Mortals. Satchel Richards, 1111 through Fountain says, Kerwa, boosting for a longer boostergram section. they came in from, this is in response to our lack of boostergrams last week.
Oh, good, good. The call went out. People heard it. Excellent.
Oh, look, well, speak of the devil. There's Chris from Jupiter.
Oh.
Through Fountain, 50,000 sats.
Boom!
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Hey, Chris, thank you, brother.
Cross show boost follow-up, Adam.
Oh.
I did not see your boost come in to This Week in Bitcoin, not on my node or the Fountain dashboard. We still have a big problem with non-key send metadata, in my humble opinion.
Yes.
Solvable. But we're not there yet. Love you guys. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting. Hope somebody solves it. It'll be nice.
There's Dreb. I see Dreb. And let's see.
Delimiter.
Oh, well, look at that. It's the Delimiter. 13,350 sats through Fountain. And CSB says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I'd like to recommend the best podcast about podcasting industry news. Sounds Profitable. By Brian Borland. I'm not laughing at you, Brian. I was just not expecting that to be the one. Sounds Profitable by Brian Barletta. Just search for Sounds Profitable in your podcast app to find it. A look at the most important news in podcasting. Yo, CSB, the maker of www.trading.toys. Now,
that's actually a fun website he built.
It is cool. I'm just still confused. Why is CSB listening to Sounds Profitable? a show about podcast ad tech.
You know, CSB, he's an interesting guy. You know, he has a variety of interests. And he's just, and he's, ever since we got Boosts and Boostagrams, he started donating to shows. He just wants to be completely anonymous. He doesn't want anyone to know what his real name is, where he lives, mm-hmm. what he actually does.
What he sounds like.
Well, we know what he sounds like. I'm not allowed to do it anymore because then he gets mad.
Oh, I thought you had special dispensation.
No. I have no.
Okay.
If I do it, okay. Then I'll get like, I don't sound like that. Oops, sorry.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Didn't mean to do that. Mike Dell snuck in here. It's sneaky. Mm-hmm. He snuck in right after the delimiter. We got a buffer overflow here. Mike Dell, 10,289. Mike is a big spender.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mike.
10,289 through Podcast Guru. Soon to be delisted podcast guru.
Don't put that on them.
Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you, Mike. No, I'm just kidding. Jason, we will defend you.
Yes. Well, you know, we actually had to do another one of our special App Store letters for Barry.
Because
whenever you submit, not everybody, but most times when you submit a podcast app, like, you've got to show us you've got permission, because they're on the same tip. You've got to show us you've got permission to use these RSS feeds. And I have a stock letter that I then forward. And it always works. It's 100 out of 100.
Yeah, we're batting 1,000 on that. Yeah,
perfect score.
And what's great about that is that 50% of the time they want a letter and 50% of the time they do not care.
Exactly. Yeah, it makes nothing but sense.
There's your App Store rules for you.
Yeah, and yeah, Godcaster didn't have to do it. We didn't get one of those for Godcaster. No.
Lots of people use this and never have to do this. It's just so random.
Yeah.
It's so random.
Yeah. It's the world we live in. It's the world we live in.
Yeah, I know. Chad, I know Barry was on Podcast Weekly Review.
Yes, he was. I haven't heard it yet.
They scooped us. Tries his best to scoop us every time.
Yeah, he's listening to the show like, oh, wait a minute. I got to have Daniel J. Lewis on first.
He'll be on there next week.
Oh, yeah.
Barry pimped himself out.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it.
But Daniel J. won't be on there next week if he knows what's good for him.
No. Wah, wah, wah. All right, I got to go back to work.
All right, brother, what are you doing this weekend?
I will probably be putting a fan shroud in the 67 to F-250.
Nice. There's nothing like putting a fan shroud
in the 95 degree Alabama heat. The black F-250 with a 460 does not like it. It wants to overheat so bad. I'm eyeballing that.
Wait, shouldn't you get a big blower on the hood?
Blower, yeah. It's like
that would look cool.
I put in a 16-inch electric fan.
You need a big honking blower right on the hood. Here comes Dave Jones, everybody, and we'll do a custom paint job, Pod Sage.
With flames?
Yes, flames. It's a grease lightning.
I like it.
Yes, exactly. I like it. All right, Boardroom, thank you very much for being here. Hope you all enjoyed the nerdy talk. We will return next Friday for another episode of Podcasting 2.0. Everybody, be nice to each other, tell a secret, and hold hands.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Hi, I'm the Podfather. Let me scold you for a moment.